Oh, they've done it! Steven Gerrada, an instant hero! Can you believe this? Plenty attacking! No, no! The comeback is complete! A stunning second half from Schalke!
Here's Lakefield Coleman's Wook auf Schalke America. I'm your host, Richard Carmen, on this Draw Monday, as El Waflo says. El Waflo is a celebrity in our midst. He gets included in a picture with Kiki Top in the Schalke's Twitter page. So there you go, El Waflo. You're big, making big things here. Gluck auf to everyone. Eric, Gluck auf. I see you in the chat. Going solo tonight, but that's okay. We got a full roster to talk about. If you haven't checked out our debrief of the Elfsborg match, go check it out. It's on YouTube, also on Twitter as well. But check that out. But for tonight, what are we going to get into? We're going to talk about the match. Talk about the match and the match that was a 1-1 draw, as it is on a draw Monday. We'll get into some injury updates. What happened? Were there any injuries in the game that we need to talk about? We'll get into that. Who's our goalie going into 24-25? To be determined. But there are some updates on that as well, possibly. What happens if Carl Gerrards leaves? Maybe he takes the Club Bruce job, right? Or maybe he gets fired. Who knows? What happens in the back? Is there a backup plan? We'll talk about that as well. Former Schalke legend, or Schalke legend, I should say, Raul has some comments on Schalke. He's keeping tabs on us. So we'll talk about his comments and then look ahead to Dusseldorf. Game is this Saturday. So without further ado, let's get into this one. Obviously, 1-1 draw against Elfsborg. An interesting game. Obviously, down the stretch here, we need to get all the points we can get, right? There's no assurances that we're going to be surviving this fight to Liga. There's still that chance that we could get relegated. A three-point gap now, I think it is, with the results that happened this weekend. But we didn't know. We were kicking off the weekend. Our game was on Friday. Had a match against Elfsborg, who is, a mid-table team. A team that is certainly beatable. They beat us, obviously, the first go-around. And so, could we get revenge? Could we get a win? Could we get a draw? Or just, could we avoid defeat? That's the main thing. Avoid defeat and hope that the rest of the teams below us don't match us or do better than us. And obviously a 1-1 draw in the game overall. Could it have been better? Sure. But we'll look at the lineups in this one. For Elfsborg in goal, you got Christoph, back four of Vandermeersch, Sickinger, Leoncourt, and Neubauer. Midfield five of Jakobsen, Philhauer, Rockelt, Vanner, and Fail. And then Martinovic up top. Okay, lineup, as Carl Gerrards mentioned in the press conference before the game. Not necessarily superstars on this team, but it is a cohesive team. They play as one. What they did to come from Dritte Liga up to Zweite Liga and, are fairly comfortable in Zweite Liga. It goes to show how good and close a team this is. The manager did a fantastic job with them. It is a cohesive unit. So this is always going to be a difficult game. Looking at our team, we went with a standard 4-4-2 with a diamond shape. Müller back in goal once again, back four. This time you had Brendan Salpi inserted back into the lineup as a right back. There was questions about who would start in this game. Carl Gerrards mentioned it was either going to be Salpi, Matriciani, or Van der Sloot. Odds on favorites were going to be Matriciani or Salpi, and Salpi did get the nod in this one. The rest of the back four, you had Kalash, Kaminsky, and Merkin. Then the rest of the midfield, you had a holding midfielder role. Schallenberg back into the lineup. Would he pay off with his reinsertion to the lineup? You had Seguin on the right, Oyan on the left, Karaman in the 10 role, so to speak, with Kabadai and Taroda. We see that the one notable thing outside of obviously Brendan Sopi and Schallenberg back is Kabadai up top. It had been Top and Taroda leading the way. They had some good games. They had some bad games, or okay games, meh games, right? But we see from Kabadai, he comes on. He's usually a super sub. And honestly, any of the youngsters that come on as a sub have done very well in that role. The starting role has been a different situation, right? But Kabadai would get his opportunity. He obviously had a really good game last game and has had good performances coming off the bench and making the most of his opportunities. So the question is, how would these two do together? Overall, I think not a bad lineup for us. I mean, considering what we could have put out there, Not bad. Not bad. But first 15 minutes of the game, I thought we came out very well. Really put a lot of pressure on Elfersberg. I mentioned how it didn't appear like Elfersberg were even interested in playing. It just seemed like we were doing everything we wanted to, other than scoring. The final third continues to be a problem for us. We couldn't put away chances. And, you know, first 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I thought, okay, if we're at least going to keep putting pressure on them, eventually one of these chances are going to fall. And then, it's like they were baiting us almost, right? Elfersberg is like, the manager felt that there would be a road bump, a lot of pressure from Schalke in the early onset. You know, usually it's a home team that has the early momentum, but I guess Elfersberg wanted to slow down Schalke, let them, you know, run out there as they may, and get them a little tired, and then hit them with the counterpunch. And boy, they hit us with a counterpunch. You know, around the 17th minute mark, a real first opportunity, forced a double save. Both, you know, it was a first save from Mueller, then Schallenberg with a second shot. And really, it was just an onslaught after that. It seemed like we weren't even on the pitch for the next 30 minutes or so. Really poor from us. I mean, you got to give Elfersberg a lot of credit and their manager as well. Horst Steffen, I thought that game plan worked out really well for them, I think. Not only did they get a shot in the 17th minute, but a minute later, you know, Kabadai being naive, being young, really silly yellow card, unnecessary yellow card, top of the box, sets up a free kick in a dangerous area. And lo and behold, they get a set piece. We've not been good on set pieces. And Le Jongkoor scored the goal, header, wide open header. Not the way we want to start, is it? Not the way we want to start. And not only did we not start well, it's just the fact that the striker, or defender in this case, the attacker of the ball, was wide open. And for me, and I, you know, from my recollection of the game, since, you know, obviously the game wasn't on ESPN Plus or anything like that for us in the States, we had to watch it by any means necessary. Watching live, and from what I remember, Kaminski left him wide open. It was 2-3 steps behind him. It's just like he was unprepared for the big man to get open like that, or he just didn't think the defender would get it wide open as he did, or get a scoring opportunity. Well, he did. Perfect cross into him. Le Jongkoor put it away right in the middle, but it was, you know, perfectly placed just under the bar. Mueller did all he could, but, you know, you can't really blame Mueller for that. 100% blame was going to go to Kaminski for me. Could there maybe be other defenders helping out? Yeah, sure. But I think Kaminski gets the first blames. If you think otherwise, or if you remember otherwise, please let me know in the chat or in the comments. I would love to understand or hear your thoughts, and maybe I missed something, but that's what I remember. And one of my four takeaways was Kaminski's poor defending all game long. But that goal happened very early. That was 18th minute when that goal happened. And it just seemed like Elfersberg was continuing trying to get that second goal, putting lots of pressure on Schalke. And I wish I had looked at the percentage of the possession in the first 10-15 minutes, because I would have bet that it would have been like 70-30 us. And then once that quarter hour mark turned, it completely flipped the switch, it seemed like. And it was obviously decidedly in their favor when you got to halftime, but we struggled to get any kind of shot in that first half after that quarter hour mark. We could barely get the ball over the midway line. It just seemed like Elfersberg did whatever they wanted, turned into a completely different team. It completely felt like a bait and switch that they were doing on us. But, you know, eventually we would get a shot off, and luckily it was because of a set piece. I forget who drew the foul. It was probably Kabadai who drew the foul, or Karaman, in the 40th minute. Led to Seguin getting a cross in, and Karaman getting a save, and good save by the keeper. Ball drops to Tirota. Poor angle for him. Hard for really put it away. Can't really blame Tirota for missing that, as sharp of an angle as it was. But Karaman put a good header on it. Forced the keeper to make a save. And that's all we asked for, right? It's like, Anthony, I see you in the chat. All we asked for is put these shots on target. Force the keeper to make a save. If he doesn't save it, then, you know, it's going to be a goal. That's, you know, that's a good opportunity there. Struggling as we were in that first half, that could have really changed the game there. Had Tirota put it away, or Karaman put it away, 1-1. And we're probably feeling good at ourselves that we were getting outplayed and it's a draw. But nonetheless, I mean, we got the halftime 1-0 lead, you know, and as bad as Elfersberg was beating us, the scoreline was still 1-0. And so could we regroup at halftime? We've seen so many times this year where we get to halftime, we crawl to halftime, hoping, wishing that we would do something different in the second half, and it really hasn't come to fruition that many times. But what we saw was we would see that adjustment. We wonder who would be affected by any changes that we would see at halftime. And what we saw was Keke Topp comes into the lineup at halftime. And I remember the stream that I was listening to, the German stream I was listening to, and the announcer was like, Keke Topp's on, but Kabadai's out there, Kahraman's out there, Toronto's out there. Who'd he come on for? Lo and behold, it's Derry John Merkin. So Gerrard's rolling the dice. I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are with Gerrard's rolling the dice as he did. Obviously, it's a huge game for us. We needed to get some kind of result. We were down 1-0, and at this point in the season, with there being such a tight gap between us and the relegation zone, we got to take some chances. And I think I mentioned this in the debrief, like, it was either going to be a hit or a miss. Luckily, it was a hit, so to speak. Keke Topp was an instant impact, and I think Merkin picked up a little bit of an injury as well. I don't know if that resulted in him coming off, or was it because we just wanted to get another attacker out there. I like that he kept the strikers that he had out there and then added Keke Topp. Keke Topp, what we've seen, we talked, Jack and I talked about how his hold up play for a youngster, his strength is so good. And yeah, Eric, I agree. He moves well for a big man. And Anthony's saying Keke Topp deserves a lot of credit for his performance. Yeah, I think soon as Keke Topp came into the game, an instant change in the team. And obviously at halftime, the talk, with the managers to the team, the leaders in the team, obviously caused a lot of this as well. But I think Keke Topp's insertion gave him a focal point to focus on. A lot of the ball was going to Keke Topp, and he'd hold up the ball and feed it over to Kahraman or Owian or Kabadai. What we saw is Merkin obviously coming out. He was playing defense. So Owian, Jack and I talk about that the left-sided stack with Owian and Merkin. And it's good not only because both guys like to push up. They both provide opportunities and a threat on the left-hand side. But if one of them needs to come off for whatever reason, injury, pulling poor, you still got another defender there. So you got technically two defenders there on the left-hand side. So Merkin, he goes off at halftime. Owian, you slide him back. You move Kabadai to the left-hand side. And it kind of worked out there. Keke Topp was, roaming around and all kinds of things. He was highly pivotal in this game. He got an opportunity maybe, 5 minutes into the second half. I think hit off the defender. Should have been a penalty at that point. But, good. We looked much better. We looked more competent in the offensive zone. And then finally, in the 58th minute, we get an opportunity, and I don't remember who gets a through ball in. If you remember who got that through ball to Kahraman, let me know. I've been looking for the replays all weekend. I cannot find it. But Kahraman gets the ball on the right-hand side. One times a beautiful pass into the middle of the box, and Keke Topp, being where he's supposed to be with his pace, with his mobility, gets wide open, taps it in there. 1-1, loving what he brought to the team. And it really lifted up the whole team. We talked many times this year how Matriciani's involvement often, lifts up the boys. And I think it's anyone from that Kanapachmita team, that Youth Academy products, that get into the pitch and automatically lift the team, it seems like. And Keke Topp certainly did that with the goal. We were feeling good at that point. We were looking a lot better. The game would balance out more in that second half. But it was much better performance than what we saw in that first half. We had some opportunities. Again, I mentioned there was a penalty, a shot for a handball off a Keke Topp opportunity. Didn't go our way. We'd get another one late in the game, really late in the game, where Keke Topp again was involved and hit off a handball. No call there again. VAR, I guess, didn't like to call it. I didn't want to call it against Schalke. I don't know. Or for Schalke, whatever. But we were doing so well. And I had this fear in the back of my head. We've seen this so many times where we're playing well, or any team is playing well, and they're not scoring. All it takes is one punch from the other team, and it's a goal. Well, they had their moment. Elfersberg did, and it was a 76th minute. We were looking so confident defensively, really shutting them down. I thought Schallenberg had a really great game in this one. One of the better players for me on the day. Really clogged that midfield as you expect him to. Really limiting their opportunities, forcing them to really play away from him, he and Kalash, I thought, were doing really well as a partnership in that middle there. And up until the 76th minute, we were looking good. And then something happened. There was a breakdown somewhere. Quick passing by Elfersberg. Credit to them. Ends up getting to the middle. And I don't remember if it was Martinovic or Vanner. I forget who it fell to. Point blank in the 6-yard box against Mueller. Mueller makes a fantastic save, reactionary save. But, you know, he came out just in time, got the great save on it. And really, at that point, I mean, that should have been a goal. That should have been a goal. Marius Mueller came up huge for us, kept it at 1-1. And there's a hope that we could figure out a way to get the go-ahead goal. Eric says, talking about our left side, both of them are possibly out for the upcoming match. Ooh, we'll have a rough time against Dusseldorf. Yeah, hopefully that's not the case. I'd like to have at least one of them out there. Both of them, though, would be difficult. Eric says, Dusseldorf probably the most informed team in the league right now. And, oh, by the way, they're battling for promotion. So that's going to be a difficult game for us. That's why this game against Elfersberg was so big for us. We needed to get some kind of result because we could not afford back-to-back losses. You know, not saying we can't get a result against Dusseldorf, but chances are, you know, percentage-wise, more than likely we're going to get a loss against Dusseldorf. And losing back-to-back games would be a no-go at this point in the season because teams around us, Braunschweig are winning, Rostock has been getting points, Magdeburg obviously got a win on the weekend. So teams are getting results, and we can't afford that kind of, you know, dropping points. We've got four games in a row now. I think Jack and I were talking today. Four games in a row now with points, which is huge for us. Every little point counts at this point. But, you know, Mueller makes that big save in the 76th minute. Or maybe it was the 82nd minute, I think it was. And then a couple minutes later, I mentioned again, Kiki Topp had a great opportunity to win the game. Hit off the defender's hand or arm or something. It looked like a penalty to me, even on the replay. But referees, again, didn't call it. Game ended 1-1. Huge results still, you know, despite going down a goal on the road. We've talked about how many times, we all talked about on the Discord, on Twitter, everywhere. We are not a good team on the road, and at home we're good, we get results, but on the road we've struggled so much. And I thought the team, you know, from Gerard's tactics to the team, how they played in general, we kept it fairly close. Yes, we went a goal down, but we never gave up. And ultimately, the statistics were fairly even. It's, you know, shots 17 to 15 in our favor. Again, good second half by us in that regards. Because first half, I think we maybe had one shot, maybe two. And then shots on target, 5-5 even there. Possession, we had a little bit more at the end of the game, 54-46. We had, almost 50 passes more than they did. Passing accuracy is fairly even. Fouls, we had more fouls, so we were fouling them a lot. And we had more corners, 7-3. A lot of that came in the second half of the game. And so, ultimately, a decent result. Obviously, you'd want to win, but a draw will take a draw considering what happened on the weekend. Looking at some of the other results that happened. Here we go, get my matches up here. All right, so looking at the results from the rest of the weekend. Obviously, we kicked off with a draw there. Paderborn, Nuremberg doesn't really affect us. Kaiserslautern and Wiesbaden, that went to a draw. That helped us. Both teams are below us. We wouldn't want either team to win, honestly. If both could lose, as you know, we say in the Discord, that would be more ideal, but you can't have that. So a draw between Wiesbaden and Kaiserslautern was a big result. Dusseldorf and Grotha Foyth really doesn't affect us. Both teams battling for promotion, as Eric mentioned. They're continuing their march up, trying to get promotion, maybe get that third spot, get in the playoff. Osnabrück and Braunschweig, I think in an ideal world, we want Osnabrück to win that game, but they've been so poor this season that a Braunschweig victory was almost all but certain. Braunschweig would win 3-0 in that game. Holstein, Kiel, Hamburg, you know, that's two of the top three teams there, and Kiel won that game despite a red card. Hansa Rostock against Magdeburg was a big game as well. Magdeburg, I think, was just below, like, one place below us, but Hansa Rostock, they get a win in that game. And it's all of a sudden within 1 point. And so the fact that Magdeburg won that game 2-0, I thought it was 3-0, but it was 2-0. That helped us out. Karlsruhe and Hertha didn't really affect us. And then Hannover St. Pauli didn't affect us either. So looking at the standings in this one after this weekend, Holstein Kiel still in first place. The Flying Beckers, right? They're still in first place. St. Pauli, both those teams look like they're getting promoted. Dusseldorf are in the third spot right now. They actually got a comfortable lead. They got a 6-point lead over Hamburg. They're on a 5-game win streak, at least 5 games, matching Holstein Kiel, if not more. Maybe with that 6-point advantage, they take the foot off the gas, gives us a chance. We'll see. We'll see. But let's look at the bottom where it's more important here. My screen's not sharing right now, but it's all right. Osnabrück still at the bottom on 24 points. Then it's Kaiserslautern with 30 points at 17th place. One place above them is Hansa Rostock, 31 points. Wiesbaden, one place above them, on 32 points. Braunschweig, with their victory, are at 34 points, 2 points behind us. We are in 13th. So, looking at how this falls out at the moment. So, between us in 13th place and Hansa Rostock, who hold the last relegation spot, there are 5 points at the moment. Obviously, we'd love to stay ahead of Braunschweig and Wiesbaden, but at this point, all we need to care about is staying out of the automatic relegation spots and the playoff spot. We don't want to be anywhere near those positions. And so we got a 5-point gap at the moment. Dusseldorf match is going to be difficult, but they're winnable games on the backside of that. We got Rostock and Osnabrück. We have to win those games. I think, how many points? I mean, 40 is the magic number, I think. I think 40 will be safety, where Elfersburg is at the moment. Nuremberg, Magdeburg are below 40. At this point, though, on 36 points, it's a tough call. There's 5 games remaining. Definitely one win will be good. I would still love to beat Rostock and Osnabrück. That would guarantee us safety. That would guarantee us safety. Could we get away with just one win? I don't know. I don't want to tempt it. Hopefully we get a result against Dusseldorf, I think. But that'll be interesting to see, the least. I'm curious how this goes. I mean, what are your guys' thoughts? Let us know in the chat or on Twitter or on social media. How many points do we need for safety? Obviously, I think five points, absolutely safety. But if we didn't get 5 points, does 4 get it? Does 3 get it? If nothing else, we have to match what Braunschweig, Wiesbaden, Rostock, and Kaiserslautern do, if nothing else. And really, Rostock's the one you want to pay attention to. But again, any of these teams at the bottom going to roll, anything can happen. Wiesbaden has lost 4 of the last 5 games. Rostock's won 2 of the last 5, but lost 3. Kaiserslautern lost 3 of the last 5. Braunschweig have got 3 wins in their last 5. So they're the most informed team in the bottom. I mean, they're one of the most informed teams in the league, honestly. 3 wins, a draw, and a loss in the last 5. Pretty good. We have 1 win, 1 loss, and 3 draws. Like I said, 4-game point streak here for us. So we'll see here. Looking at some of the injury news from this weekend. Derry John Merkin faces a long break, and this is coming from Waz, Andreas Ernst Group. The results of the examination are to be published tomorrow. Schalke did not want to give any details about the injury. Also injured and missing at least from practice today, Macesiani felt sick. Cedric Brunner, knee problems. We got to watch that. Oyon, he's only athletic training due to minor complaints. So he's got a little bit of injury here to Pati's point. So we'll see how he goes. Hopefully he can recover well for this weekend. We need him, especially with Merkin out for a long time. So we'll see. There's a question mark over Merkin's participation against Dusseldorf. I would imagine he's not going to play in that. But we'll see. Same thing for Asano Drago. Unable to train with the team. Gerards talked about this at the pre-match press conference, how he has a nagging leg injury. And they're saying, you know, they don't want to rush him because it could obviously have long-term complications if you try to rush someone play through an injury at such a young age. Obviously needs to develop. And so we'll see how it's going to go in the morning. He trained individually, so we'll see how the things shape up. But it's going to be tight before the Dusseldorf match. I mean, the key is going to look at that left-back position. And can Odrago make it? Can Merkin? I don't know. But we would at least have at least one of those guys. Let's see where else we want to go. Looking on to the goalie situation coming up this summer. So this comes from Kicker. Looks like Misha Langer is likely not to receive a new contract. I don't think we're surprised by that. All indications are that Justin Hickerin is expected to return and become Mueller's main competitor. So I color me surprised, because I thought Mueller was loaned in and we were going to lose him at the summer, but kicker's saying that possibly he's staying. Whether it's a longer loan or we actually signed him to Leo, I got to look into that. It's a good surprise me. But if that's true, then that means Ralph Fairman's time at Schalke is probably coming to an end, and it's hard to I feel for Fairman, obviously a club legend, but I mean the way Mueller's been playing, if Mueller is staying, Mueller is the guy. I mean he's won us so many points this year alone. If we survive, a lot of it, if not all of it, is going to go to Marius Mueller, and the other half's probably going to go to Keaton Kyrman. Mueller has been fantastic. He's saved games. This last game alone, he had a numerous amount of saves, and that point blank save in the 82nd minute, you know, alone there was huge for us. So, you know, hate to see this for Fairman, but eventually I think it's, you know, his contract runs until 2025, but, you know, there's a chance that he'll probably part ways after the season. So we'll see how that goes. Can't blame him if he does. So let's see. Moving on, Gerrard's news. So obviously a lot of the rumor has been that he may be going to Club Brugge in the summer. He may get fired. Who knows? Maybe he's leaving Schalke. But Waz is reporting that if Gerrard were to leave Schalke, Hein van Hazebroek is considered the favorite to succeed him. He is loud and known for his emotionality, which fits perfectly for us, right? In 2016, the newspaper The Zeit described as one of the last real guys of professional football. When Mark Wilmots had only been in office for a few days, there were Belgian experts who, in conversation with Waz, bet behind closed doors that Van den Broek would one day take over as coach for Schalke, provided Wilmots was still in charge. And that's also a big if, right? Let's see. Mark Wilmots has known and appreciated Van den Broek for a long time. It's a Belgian coach, whatever, as you might expect. Jan Mulder, father of Yuri, brought Van den Broek into discussion at Schalke during the current season. Let's see. He plays a 3-4-1-2 tactic offensively, and so that would work for us. We played some variations of that this year. And Van den Broek is known for his talent development and squad value enhancement. So I would say it's not much a departure from what we have now with Carl Gerrard's. Maybe it won't be as much friction as we've heard about Gerrard's. There's clearly a pro-Gerrard's camp and a anti-Gerrard's camp in the Schalke locker room. It seems like the players who are getting most of the starts these days are, for the most part, pro-Gerrard's, and the ones who are not are anti-Gerrard's. But, we'll see. I'll have to look more into this guy, see what he's done in the past, how it could look, how it's shaped for us, if it becomes a first. But I'll wait to hear Gerrard's leave before I even look at this guy. But it's interesting to hear about this. Let's see. Moving on, Raul. Some Raul news. They asked, who was this? So Waz again. They asked Raul if he's been following Schalke, and he said, "Of course, I'm following Schalke and their downfall. He carries the club in his heart. It hurts him to see how Schalke is these days." He says, "Schalke was once again an important part of the end of my career. I didn't even win the cup in Spain with Madrid." So he's talking about how he won the DFB Pokal with Schalke and didn't get a chance to in La Liga. Talking about his times in the 2011 Champions League season with Schalke, he says, "For a club like Real Madrid, reaching the semifinals was a given. For Schalke, it's not." And, you know, obviously beating Inter Milan was huge to get to that opportunity. Said, "You know, Schalke fans are great. They deserve better times than we currently are seeing. At least there have been better results in the recent weeks, and he hopes that they stay in the league and then have more of a promising future." Obviously, when prior to this season, probably two seasons ago, some of the rumors were, hey, maybe Raul would be our new manager. Never came to fruition. I don't know if it'll ever will be, but good to see that he still follows the team. Obviously, many of us hold him near and dear to our hearts. So not only a Schalke legend, but also he's a football legend in general, right? What he did at Real Madrid was undeniable. Let's see. Yeah, and then last bit of news here is to talk about the game against Dusseldorf. It is a important game for us. I think the more important thing is not to lose in that game. If we can find a way to get a result, that'll be key. Looking at some of the players that they have on their team, from what I remember, the first go around against them, goalkeeper Kastenmeier is pretty decent. Vermaai is a good mobile striker who can put the ball away. Johannesson Engelhardt, Appelkamp, and Klaus were all, and Yastrzemski as well, they all were very good against us. They made life difficult for us. And their defense is pretty good. Siebert is a decent player, and Ioha as well. Trying to look back at the last time we played them. Let's see. I don't remember what the results were so long ago. Let's see here. I played them a long time ago. Where was this? There we go. Last time we played them, that was, I forgot about that, 5-3. That was that ridiculous game against them. Vermaai had two goals in that game in the 13th and 26th minute. Klaus, that's right, they went up 3-0 in the first 30 minutes of that game. God, how did I forget that game? Klaus got the goal in the 19th minute. We would start to make a comeback. Kaminski in the 57th minute, and then Zolis in the 65th made it 4-1. Kalash and Lassman back-to-back goals in a matter of minutes. Made it 4-3. We had a chance. We thought we were coming back in that game. And then Niemic in stoppage time got the winner. Didn't matter at that point. 5-3. Hopefully it's not a 5-3 game. Hopefully it's a lot closer. Hopefully, you know, at minimum we get a draw in that game. If we can get a win. Like I said, they have a 6-point gap between them and Hamburg. They're comfortably in that third position in the table at the moment. So hopefully their guard is let down a little bit. I'm curious who they play after us, because maybe they want to reserve themselves for the game after us. So after us, they play Nuremberg. Not necessarily any easier for them. And looking down the stretch for them, Nuremberg, they Holstein Kiel, and Magdeburg. So you would think they'd probably want to get victories in three of the last four games. That Holstein Kiel game is going to be a doozy, no doubt about it. Probably be an ESPN Plus game, but you know, they got certainly winnable games against us, Nuremberg, and Magdeburg. So, you know, 5-3 was the last game. It's going to be a difficult game. It's going to be at home this time. We've played a lot better at home. And so, yeah, let's keep it tight. I think we've seen in the last four games, the defense has looked a lot better. And so, yeah, well, let's see what happens there. And did you guys catch the post-match press conference of Gerrards? It was really brief. Let's play it here real quick before we get out of here.
Weil es die Gäste sind, dürfen die auch als Erste beginnen. Bitte schön.
Danke. I think today the game were some different moments, especially for both of the teams. I think we started really good for 10-15 minutes in the first half. I like it a lot. We had some nice combinations. Then the game changed. I think it was a great chance for Elvis-Berich, where Müller make a great save. Followed by the free kick, where they score a nice goal. Of course, I'm not happy with this defending on a set piece. Then the second half, I think we bring much more energy on the field. Also, the entrance of Kekitop, he gave the team a lot of energy. So I think we deserve the 1-1. On the other end, I think Marius must make one or two big saves of them. And then in the end, I think less than minutes, we had some, let's say, some power play with a lot of corner kicks, especially with Thomas Aouyan, who was a good left foot, but we were missing like 1-2 centimeters today in the belief. So at the end, I think the point is correct and deserved for both teams.
Dankeschön, Gerrards.
All right, those are the words of Gerrards, and couldn't argue with anything he said there after the game. A lot of what we already said already about that. So, yeah. Going to be interesting against Dusseldorf. Like I said, if there is a throwaway game over the next three games, this is it. But let's not take any chances. Let's give it our all. At home, we have played well over the last four games. Our defense has been better. And so if we can contain them, contain Vermaai, and that, you know, their midfield is really good. I remember that vividly. They tore us apart in that first 30 minutes in the first game we played them. So contain them. Keep it tight. And hope for a result in that game. Hey, maybe crazy things happen where we will get results. But let's be smart in that game and not give away too much. Kaminski's still a liability for me. Kalash has been fantastic, but I don't know who to put in Kaminski's place at this point. So I think the return of Schallenberg is going to help a lot, but they got to figure something out. Maybe a double pivot, I don't know, to kind of help out Kaminski there with Kalash. But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe he just marks better. Some games he has really good games. Other games he has poor games. And so hopefully this will be a nice bounce back game with him, especially being at home. We will see. But, That's all I got, I guess, for tonight. I'm going to keep it short. I say short. It's our normal time here. So anyway, if you want to follow Jack, follow him at JMMANGAN on Twitter. You can follow me at R_KHARMAN. More importantly, follow Schalke America anywhere across social media. Our podcast can be listened to anywhere that you listen to audio, music, and all that jazz. If you haven't subscribed yet to our YouTube page, please do so and like this video. It'll help a lot with the algorithms. And if you haven't joined the Discord, look for that. We'll send a link on Twitter when we send out the podcast link as well. So join the Discord. Got a lot of great people there talking Schalke all the time. And then obviously trying to keep up with the rest of the Zweite Liga as well. And the results, obviously a lot of results are important for us at this stage of the season. We need a lot of results to go our way. And so, yeah. Oh, I'm actually curious, real quick, before we, one last thing I want to check here before we leave. Who the rest of our cohorts are playing. Let me see what the games are this weekend and who is playing who. Because it's going to be important to see, especially if we don't get a result against Dusseldorf, what the others are doing. So let's go here. Zweite Liga. All right. So this weekend coming up, Hertha Hanover doesn't affect us. St. Pauli against Rostock. Hopefully St. Pauli do us a favor there and guarantee their promotion there with a win. Braunschweig against Hamburg. Come on, Hamburg. I hate that we got to cheer for Hamburg in this situation, but Hamburg hopefully does the job there. But it is end of the season, so you never know with them. Holstein Kiel and Kaiserslautern. Hopefully Holstein Kiel come up big in that game as well. Paderborn Elfersburg. The game doesn't really affect us, but I guess Paderborn win would be okay. We obviously play Dusseldorf and then Magdeburg Osnabrück. Yeah, I guess you could say we can afford Osnabrück to beat Magdeburg, right? But Magdeburg victory doesn't really hurt us. Nuremberg Karlsruhe doesn't affect us, and then Greuther Fürth against Wiesbaden. Hopefully Greuther Fürth get a win against Wiesbaden. That would be much appreciated. So that's what our opponent's doing. Favorable matchups for us in terms of our teams in and around us are playing against some of the top end teams, so we're not alone in that regard. So yeah, let's see what happens. Pay attention to the news, especially for the Oyan Merkin news. We gotta hopefully have at least one of them for the game. So anyway, I've said enough. I'm done. Enjoy the rest of your week and get ready for the game against Dusseldorf on Saturday. Glück auf.